It's time now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker today is Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. The title of his message is The Foundation of True Freedom. The text is from John chapter 8, verses 30 through 36.
If you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to John chapter 8. In just a moment, I'll read you verse 30 through verse 36. I was praying for you this morning. I never attended summer school, but I know it must be very difficult. Your friends are out working, having fun. You're here studying. But I hope you're making the best of it. I hope you're learning a lot. It appears to me that it would be a great time to learn. I know that a lot of material is covered in a hurry, but I think that that's good for most of you. It gets you to concentrate on that material, and you're here to learn. And it's a great opportunity to learn, and I'm praying that you'll be focused on that learning, even with your exams coming up this week. Follow with me as I read John 8, verse 30 through 36. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews that believed on him, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest you, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I think often about this passage of Scripture. There are certain passages that come to my mind probably every day. And this passage in John chapter 8 is one of those passages. We all know the Gospel of John is the Gospel of love because John speaks so eloquently about love. But you know, he mentions love 38 times, but he mentions truth 41 times in this writing. So could it be that it is the Gospel of love and truth, and could it be that these two things go together? In Bible days, there were two classes of men, bond and free. There are two classes today. Those that are bound by a life that is attached to this world, and those that are free indeed. You know, many people today, even Christians today, are slaves. They're bondmen. They're slaves to false beliefs. They're slaves to desires that are outside the realm of the truth of Scripture. This passage is talking to us about truth. That is such a big Bible word. I don't really know that I can define it in a way that you can grasp the impact of this word truth. Here's a simple definition. The property of being in accord with fact our reality. Truth is being in accord with fact or reality. And what does the word freedom mean? Not subject to control or domination, to be liberated. And this passage is talking about truth and freedom. I could entitle the message Truth and Freedom, or I could entitle the message The Foundation of True Freedom. Being released out of bondage. All of this ties to this subject of truth. When we look at truth, let's look at the attributes of truth. What are the attributes of truth? First of all, truth is never wrong. This really bothers men. Truth is never wrong. It's never in error. It's always pure. True is true. Now, we have a very hard time with truth in our society. People bend the truth all the time. You're hearing political announcements right now for the 2006 midterm elections. Those announcements aren't what you would call the eloquence of truth. they're bent to make you believe something that may not be true. But truth is free from all error. And when we think about truth never being wrong, Psalm 31:5 says, "The Lord God of truth." Do you know what this means? It means God is never wrong. I want you to think about this. You've got this book, the words of God. You have a God in heaven who is never wrong about anything. He's always right. Why then do we argue with him so? Why do we debate with the words of this book? Why do we debate with the principles of this book? We are debating with truth, and you never will win a debate in debating with truth. John 14:6, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." Jesus is truth. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is true. Everything he said is true. Everything he did is true. He is total truth. What am I trying to get you to see this morning? This concept of truth and freedom. True freedom only comes from knowing and applying truth in your life. Many of you are in bondage today to some sin. Are your thought processes all wrong about what you want to do, what you want to get? John chapter 16, verse 13, speaking of the Holy Spirit, says, "When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth." The Holy Spirit is truth and tries to lead men into truth so that you see and recognize and understand and apply to your life truth. It's very interesting. God is truth. The Lord Jesus is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. And John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." Now, there are four things that are always true. You can always depend on them to be accurate, to be without error. You can depend on every prophecy to come true. You can depend on every promise to be fulfilled. It's total truth. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Word of God all encompass this single element that we call truth. Without any error, without any bending of truth, just plain, straightforward truth. Truth is never wrong. Secondly, truth never wavers. 2 John 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father." The people who truly follow God walk in truth. Not error, not failure, in truth. Your only hope of freedom in this life is to know and apply truth to your life. Your only hope of freedom in this life is to take an application of what God has said in this book and live it, do it, put it in your life. You think that binds you, it really makes you free. How many Christians are concerned about being bound by the Word of God? Not being free because of the restrictions in the Word of God. My friend, they're not restrictions in the Word of God. There is freedom in the Word of God. The freedom that you so desperately seek, the freedom that everybody so desperately wants, is provided through truth. We have an enemy, an arch enemy in Satan. He is deceptive. His desire is to take you and cause you not to recognize truth. If you don't recognize truth, you don't apply truth. If you don't apply truth, you're not free. You're bound. So why is it that we can't accept this simple truth taught in this very simple passage? That if you will be the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll continue, you will dwell in His Word. And if you continue in His Word, the truth that's found in that Word will give you absolute freedom. There is this divine couplet of truth and freedom. As I speak to you this morning, look out across this audience, I recognize that probably most of you are not free because you're not recognizing the truth of this book. You're not making a proper application of that truth. Many of you are arguing with it. You're fighting with it. You're trying to bend it to mean what you want it to mean. And let me tell you something. When you bend truth, it's no longer truth. It becomes error. And Satan knows that. And he's in the business of bending truth. Well, that's the attributes of truth. Let's see the anointing of truth. How can we have it? How can we be totally absorbed by truth? Listen to 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Wait a minute. This passage is telling us that at some time we are immersed into the truth. When does that take place? It takes place at salvation. Why does it take place at salvation? The Holy Spirit of God moves into your heart. You have the one who the Bible says is always truth. When the Spirit has come, he will guide you in all truth. God has chosen to place his Spirit in the believer at salvation. Therefore, truth is in you if you'll simply respond to that truth. You are anointed with truth. It's the indwelling of a person, the Holy Spirit of God, which dwells in every believer. Do you ever have conflicts in your mind and in your heart where there's a struggle between something you really want to do but something you know is not exactly right? This battle that goes on within you, the human nature and the spiritual nature warring one against the other. Who will win? If truth wins, you'll be free. If truth loses, you'll not be free. During sanctification, there's a cleansing. The same anointing teaches you all things and is truth. Here's what this passage, I think, is teaching us. We don't get all truth at one time. It's not a big dose of truth we take like medicine, that we take like a pill. It's not that just because the Spirit of God moves into our heart and he is truth. But that doesn't mean we have all the truth, because the Bible says clearly he will guide you in all truth. If you're born again, God will lead you to truth. As you learn truth, you become sanctified. Sanctification, the process whereby we're drawn closer and closer to God and further from this system of things in which we live. This world in which we live. That's the process of sanctification. And part of the action of sanctification is an understanding of truth and an application of truth in the life of the believer. And you are anointed with truth. And as you make application of that truth, you're cleansed. You're becoming sanctified. Well, it's a continuing experience. How many times today, just this one day, are you going to have an opportunity to either apply truth and accept truth or reject truth? There's not a person under the sound of my voice this morning that won't have an opportunity today, before the day is over, to make an application of a biblical truth or to deny that truth. And as you make application of that truth, you're drawn closer and closer to God and further from the system of things in this world where you live. How much application are you making of truth? How many times do you stop when you make a decision and say, am I making this decision in the light of the truth of Scripture? How am I deciding what's right and what's wrong? How am I making a decision about which way to go? How am I deciding what I'll spend my energy on, my money, my time? How do I make all of these decisions that life holds? Life is filled with decisions. The Bible simply gives us truth that we can apply to those decisions, and as we make application of that truth, we grow. We grow spiritually. We grow closer to God and further from the world. Well, then we see very clearly that there are certain attitudes toward truth. What is your attitude toward truth? Here's one attitude. Truth can be rejected. Look at verse 33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest you, you shall be made free?" Here's this bunch of Jews that basically just received Christ as their Savior. The Lord is telling them how to be sanctified, how to grow, how to make a proper application of truth in their life. And their first reaction is, "Whoa, wait a minute. We are free. We're the sons of Abraham. We've traced our lineage all the way back to our father Abraham. Abraham's the father of the faith, and therefore by inheritance we are totally free." In other words, these people are saying to the Lord Jesus, "You're not offering us anything we don't already have. We are free. We're free by nature of our physical birth." The Lord Jesus is trying to teach them, no, you become free by the proper application of truth in your spiritual birth. Quite a difference here. You know, man, by his very nature, rejects truth. I want you to see this truth in this passage. These are men who have just been saved. They just come to Christ and recognize He's the Messiah. And what is their very first thought, their very first action, is to reject truth. How can it be that these men who are in direct contact with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who are hearing the Word of God face to face, in person, and their first reaction is, "Wait a minute, what you said is not true. We've been with you up to this point, but we want you to know we don't think we really need what you have to offer." If this scripture is correct, and I know it is, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Now we're dealing with Christians. And Christians' first response to the Word of God about truth is, "No, we don't need that. We've already got that. We're fine. We're fine with our earthly father. We're fine with our own decision, our own directions." It can be repressed. Romans 1:18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." You know, many of God's people today talk truth down, hold the truth in unrighteousness. That makes God mad. The wrath of God comes against those who hold the truth in unrighteousness, who hold down the truth, who try to repress the truth. But it can be received, and I think that's really good. John 16:13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth." Or, "If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth." If you remain, dwell, stay in relationship, abide in this truth. How do you see the truth of the Bible? How excited are you about the truth of Scripture? How much time do you spend thinking about the difference in truth and error? What method do you use to evaluate every circumstance you face in your life today and determine whether you're deciding on the side of truth or error? My young friends, we're talking about the greatest struggle in life. We're talking about truth and freedom. And freedom only comes from accepting and applying truth in your life. And truth only comes from God, from the Lord Jesus, from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. That's the only place you get truth. I want you to think about it. Are you receiving it today? Are you making a proper application of it today? Well, what are the accomplishments of truth? The Bible says it's freedom. That's what everybody's looking for. Freedom. Not to be bound. Believe it or not, the application of the truth of Scripture gives you freedom. Billy Sunday used to say, as a Christian walking with God, you can do anything you want to do. You just want to do the right things. And that's true. You want to do the right things if you're following God. The man who's free has mastered his physical senses. How many people do you know that are living their life today to fill their physical appetites? Illicit relationships, pornography. Think about it. How are you free from that? By making application of the truth of the Scripture. It tells you about that. You can escape the bondage of matter instead of stopping at the material universe and making it a prison wall. You can see beyond that to the author of creation. You can get outside the bounds of this physical universe by seeing God as who He is, the Creator of all, the Savior of all who will believe. How do you really see life? Where are your limits to seeing the truth of this life? Are you just bound up in a little bitty material world where all that matters is money and fulfilling the lust of the flesh and getting those material things you want? Or do you see beyond that? Can you see through this veil that Satan's put up? The man who's free is not swept away by the torrent of events around him and circumstances around him. You know that no matter how things look in our society and in our world, God tells the truth. And God will be victorious. And those who walk with God will be received into heaven for eternity. That's truth. But you know, we don't like to think a whole lot about the next life. We're just trying to enjoy this life. Are you swept away by the circumstances that take place in this world, on the news media, in your family? And you think, wait a minute, I am bound into this life. Or do you think beyond that to the truth of this book? You know, man that really understands truth as the Scripture gives it to us is not afraid of human opinion, because he sees that he's responsible to a higher tribunal. If you really know truth, you realize that your thoughts and actions are something you'll account to God for. That's truth. Do you make application of that truth? Well, if you make application of truth, you cast off all fear and all wrongdoing. You walk with God and you grow as a Christian. And you understand sanctification. What is this passage really teaching us? Learn truth. That's what it's teaching us. That's the intellectual part of this passage. Love truth. That's the emotional part of this passage. Really love the truth that God gives you in this book. And then live truth. That's the experiential part. Experience truth in your life. Make proper application of truth, and you will be free.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Bob Wood, Executive Vice President Emeritus of BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.